Welcome to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. The Southern Oregon Repertory Singers are presenting a concert in early March called Grace Before Sleep, and its theme is the power of music and love to inspire us toward gratitude, even in the midst of difficult times. And here in the studio to talk about it, having fun already, is Rep Singers Music Director Paul French and guest actor at the concert, Jeffrey Riley. Welcome back to you both.
Nice to be here.
Fun to be here.
And I should call you, I guess, another title, Jeff, is JX Host Emeritus.
Yes. Well, it's just academic setting. You have to call me Host Emeritus.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Paul, why don't you start by just showing how some of the pieces in this concert celebrate music in particular?
Well, the feature piece is the Benjamin Britten Hymn to St. Cecilia. Got to start with greatest homonym ever, right? Britten and Britten.
Right.
And in the years shortly before Britten's birth, music in England had really not been good. A history written by a German guy, which explains some of it, but actually called his book on the music from England Das Land ohne Musik, which means the land without music. Then Britten came along, and he was born on St. Cecilia's Day. He was destined to write this piece and his music, because with his music we recover tonality from the scream of the soul music that had been written in the early 1900s. And it celebrates the patron saint of music, St. Cecilia. And the classic line is, Blessed Cecilia, appear in visions to all musicians, appear and inspire. Translated daughter, come down and startle composing mortals with immortal fire.
So inspiring. I'm going to play a clip of that right now, that very verse. This is Benjamin Britten's Hymn to St. Cecilia, performed by the New York Chamber Choirs. I love that phrase, startle composers.
Isn't that
with
great?
Immortal fire. Yeah, good choice of words.
So I have to tell you a funny thing about it. So my doctoral dissertation was on a Baroque piece written for St. Cecilia. And I've had since my college days a poster of her above my fireplace. And every day I said a little prayer, Blessed Cecilia, get me a job. Amen.
Well, she came through for you, so I can
see
why you're still lighting the candle.
But reverent, I thought.
Yes. And by the way, I should mention that those words we just heard are, or the whole hymn really, is by poet W.H. Auden.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Paul, the Rep Singers Last Holidays concert was centered on a Britten piece. So can you explain his significance as a composer and why he's such a perennial favorite of choral groups?
Well, I think Britten was the composer of the 20th century. I think his War Requiem is the most important piece written during the 20th century, written for the reopening of Coventry Cathedral, which had been bombed during the war. And for the premiere, there were three soloists, an English tenor, a German baritone, and a Russian soprano. So it was bringing everyone together. So, you know, he would do these profound things. But what I like about him is that I already mentioned, his music came back to tonality, which composers, academic composers especially, had gotten. They only composed atonal music. It just became de rigueur. You had to compose 12-tone music. And in fact, Britten was belittled, and not even his music was not performed at sort of high-end academic concerts because, you know, it was the old thing, if the audience likes you, it must be bad.
Right, right. Which, they can latch onto a melody, so that's not elite enough.
Right, yeah. Right. And I'm totally, let me be clear, I'm totally opposed to that music. I think we need to, that there's great music. There's some 12-tone music that's good, but most of it, I have to say, and audiences don't like it. How often do you hear Schoenberg performed? So Britain has 6 or 7 operas in the worldwide repertoire. Not hardly a handful of composers in the history of music you can say that about. Mm. Maybe 10. So he's a hugely important composer, and thank God he wrote a lot of choral music.
Okay, he's a mainstay. Anything to add to that, Jeff?
We're talking the high-end music stuff here. In this context, I'm just an actor playing Mozart.
Let's get into the Mozart. You're doing choruses. Explain what those are and Jeff's role in them. Why did you choose to have it brought to life by an actor on the stage?
Yeah. So it's the 40th anniversary of the group. And I'm trying to pay respects to things we've done in the past. And for about 10 years, every February... In fact, this very concert set that's coming up, first weekend of March this year, we did a Mozart concert where we would, it was kind of like a prism concert. We would have solos and instrumentals and vocals because, I mean, Mozart's music is, touched by the divine. There's just no way. You understand how composers of his day heard it and just couldn't believe it. We still can't believe it. There's no explanation for someone being that good at such a young age.
He had an in with St. Cecilia.
He must have.
Yeah.
makes you believe in past lives, maybe. How could someone at 5 years old write stuff that's this good? So in preparing for this year, in the fall concert, we did a tribute to our Shakespeare concerts. So we did about a decade of concerts at OSF, and the OSF actors would set it up. In the Mozart concert, we always had someone play Mozart, and Jeffrey was just, he's hysterically funny.
A reminder, I'm talking with Paul French, music director of the Southern Oregon Repertory Singers, whose next concert is set for the first week of March, and Jeffrey Riley, a guest actor at that concert. Jeff, you brought a bust of Mozart here. I have to say, I'm a little disappointed you're not wearing your white wig, just for the flavor of it. But
it's a little itchy.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. What can audiences expect?
I don't honestly know yet because like any good broadcaster, I wait until the day before the actual show to do the research and everything. But the fact is that I do have years of Mozart research behind me from having done this in the past. So I have to get with Paul about what the pieces are and what his expectations are a little more. But generally, Mozart's job is to come out there and function like an MC with an Austrian accent.
Okay.
And he just would do these wild, crazy things that were so much fun. And I think that captures the spirit of Mozart to some extent. We're doing two big pieces of Mozart, one from the Mass in C minor, which he wrote shortly after he moved to Vienna from Salzburg, where he had for 10 years or so a church job. But he was not allowed to fully develop his music there because they would keep telling him, it's too long. The Mass has to be 30 minutes of music.
Keep it in the box.
So the C minor Mass, he was supposed to be written for his wife, Costanze, for their wedding. And he never finished it. I'm not sure exactly what that means. But what he did write is it's magnificent.
Yeah.
So that's one piece. Then we'll do a chorus from the end of The Magic Flute, which is just pure joy.
Sure. And I did see one picture of Jeffrey in period dress as Mozart with an electric guitar, which maybe that's fitting because Mozart was a rock star of his era.
he was to a certain extent. By the time, we know that he died in financial difficulties, and that was because he was already looking forward to the romantic in music. His music was becoming too deep, really, for the classical style, which was about charming and pleasing people. Then romantic music started to terrorize people. And the public started not to like, you know, the line everyone knows, too many notes, my dear Mozart.
Right, from the movie, yes.
But the next line, and too sublime for our ears. Mm. So music went from the beautiful, which was the classical style, to the sublime, which there's an aspect of the sublime which cows people. You feel inferior to it. And at that point, the Viennese public sort of turned on Mozart. And this Mass in C minor is headed that direction. It's a very profound piece. I mean, C minor, there's a reason Beethoven's Fifth is in C minor. And that's because there was a number of C minor pieces before it that set the stage. So it had that feeling of depth and profundity. This movement is just spectacular.
It could be sort of a way to slip in some familiarity to audiences when he's, you know, transforming it. But here's a familiar key.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what other guest artists are you planning to have at the concert besides our esteemed Jeff Riley?
Well, that's obviously the concert's built around Jeffrey.
better start working on that.
I guess so.
We also have cellist Michal Palsevich, who every time I can get him to agree to play, I have him play, and flutist Cheryl Wood. We're doing a real Michal feature, a piece arranged from the movie The Mission, Gabriel's oboe, which ironically it's really the cello that's featured. So a very beautiful piece that both of them play in there. Then Jody wrote also a beautiful Yeats setting that also feature both of them.
What I remember from our last conversation that sort of your programming protocol is to, you know, get your theme together and then see where maybe you're having gaps, and then you might assign that to your composer in residence.
Yeah, Jody saves me regularly, just about every day. Yeah, when I need a certain kind of thing, I ask Jody to write something. So. And being the 40th year, on every program this year, I'm featuring our present composer in residence, which is Jody, and our former composer in residence, Craig Kingsbury. And Craig's piece is a setting of a Hebridean folk song, and it's just lovely. I love Scotland. And this music is transforming.
Wonderful. I want to get into the Jacob Collier piece because we have a clip of that. So describe what this is.
Well, Jacob Collier he's like a little Mozart. I mean, he's a prodigy. His mother is a Baroque violinist in London. And he grew up with music, but there's no explaining how wonderful he is. What I like about him is his music is a crossover between traditional choral music and pop music.
Okay, here's a clip from Jacob Collier's World, O World.
World.
We're pretty much going to have to end on that note. That was performed by the Aeolians of Oakwood University. That was by Jacob Collier. You can expect it at the next Rep Singers concert. Thank you for joining me, both.
Glad to be here.
It's really fun.
You've been listening to The Creative Way on the Jefferson Exchange. My guests were Paul French, music director of the Southern Oregon Repertory Singers, and Jeffrey Riley, who'll be playing Mozart at their next concerts called Grace Before Sleep. Two performances are scheduled at Southern Oregon University's Music Recital Hall, one on March 7th at 7:30 p.m., one at March 8th at 2 p.m. You can get more information at repsingers.org.